Good morning and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode 50. 50 is a nice round number, or if you prefer, number L. Anyway, this was supposed to be a special episode, and that has been derailed, I guess, by the fact that I've been having computer problems all week. And actually, the real problems were only Monday and Tuesday. The rest of the problem has been just kind of getting things reset up. So basically what happened was that my computer picked up a nasty virus. Now, I've been, you know, using Windows here for 10 years, at least. It's actually more like 13 years. And I've only once ever before had a virus before this week. And that was something that was, it was a pop-up or something, I managed to get rid of it without any muss and fuss. And I've had, you know, little bits of spyware and things, but I have a virus checker. And I have a spyware program, and they normally catch this stuff. And I, you know, it's been, like I said, about 13 years, and I really haven't had any problem. Well, I had one this Monday, and it was right after I was on Ross Patzelt's program, and I was doing some bits and pieces around here. And no, I wasn't looking at porn. I wasn't looking at anything weird, or it was just regular old web browsing, as I do from time to time. And I picked up a particularly nasty virus. Really don't know what it was, but it froze the computer up, and I actually couldn't do anything on the computer during that time. So I, of course, you know, as you do in the cases, you have to kind of shut it down and restart. Well, but when I did that, it wouldn't restart. It just kept trying to restart, and then it would shut down over and over and over again. So obviously, that was a major problem. You know, and so it was obvious what had happened. It was obviously a virus, and I called up the friendly people over at Dell. They charged me $127 to basically to resolve the issue. And what we had to do, and this is very frustrating, is we had to do parallel installation of the operating system. And we were able to rescue all of the important stuff that was on the computers, but all the software, all the games, all the recording software, all this other stuff, we ended up having to delete. But we got all the important stuff off anyway. So, like my genealogy files, all that stuff is all safe because, you know, I have backed these things up, and when you redo a Windows installation, it saves your documents folder. So there are certain things that, you know, do get saved. Now, one of the lessons I've had of this is that I'm going to have to get an external hard drive and probably do backups a little bit more regularly because the last time I'd done a full backup was in May or so. And so that was a big inconvenience. Now, part of it's my fault for not doing backups consistently. But sometimes you get these things. Now, I don't get why Dell, now, this is the people I called. The first guy I talked to, it was a guy named Lawrence. Sounded like he might have been in the American South somewhere. Very helpful, very knowledgeable, kind of knew what he was doing. It took, you know, almost 48 hours to, you know, we knew what the problem was immediately, but they had to go through their step-by-step rubbish that they have to go through, even though we already kind of already knew what happened. And he told me, you know, basically what we had to do. We had to do a parallel install so we could rescue the files, rescue the important stuff that was on the computer. Pete brought over one of his removable hard drives, and we were able to move the stuff over onto that. And then we had to, you know, clean up the hard drive. You had to reformat it and get rid of the bugs and whatever. And to be honest, there wasn't much. There was just that one nasty one. It wasn't, you know, like I said, I use a virus checking program. It runs every night. I have spyware programs which block most of the spyware. You get some tracking cookies and stuff, but it's pretty minor for the most part. So my point here is that there really wasn't all that much to do. There wasn't really a case that it should have taken 48 hours to fix this problem. You do your parallel install, that takes a half an hour. You rescue the files, that can take a couple hours, or, you know, depending on how many files you have. And then you wipe everything off, you do a fresh reinstall, and you're set. I mean, you re-import your files back in, you have most of what you started out with, and then any software, games, or whatever that you have to reinstall, then unfortunately you have to take the time and reinstall that. But the problem was really this. It took so long to get this done. Now, the first guy I dealt with for about, 2 hours, and he kind of guided me through all the stuff that we needed to do and the step by step what we were going to do to resolve the problem. And because it was taking quite a long time to transfer the files over to this external hard drive that Pete had, he didn't have time to hang around on the phone for this entire time, and it ended up taking like 4 hours or something, just because there was a lot of junk there that shouldn't have been transferred over, and I didn't have a chance to get rid of the stuff I didn't need. And then we had a problem because I couldn't get a hold of him again, and it was then I was dealing with people in the Philippines. I was dealing people with in India, and I think that I dealt by the end of it all, I think I dealt with about 7 different technicians, and that was extremely frustrating because, of course, if you can't rely on one person to solve the problem or 2 people, you have to re-explain the problem over and over and over and over again. And it's just really frustrating because you just can't get them to understand all the time what needed to be done. So, for example, I was dealing with this guy, and I'm sure he was in India, and he set up, we had done this parallel install, and he was thinking, oh, well, the problem's solved then, So he said, okay, well, you can load all your files back onto your computer now. And I was like, did you delete the old installation? Oh, yeah, no problem. Just put your new files in, And it got to the end of putting the files on, and I ran out of hard disk space. Now, that's obviously not right, because I have an 80-gig hard drive. Now, that's not large by the standards of most computers that are being sold today, but it's still a sizable hard drive, and it's really kind of all I need. I don't need a 300-gig hard drive or whatever. And so he had obviously not deleted the prior installation of Windows, and that turned into a kerfluffle, and I was pretty angry. And then basically I had to complain until they gave me a supervisor, somebody who actually knew what they were doing. And between the two of us, between him and I, we had the file saved, we wiped the hard drive, we reinstalled a clean installation of XP, which, of course, we wiped everything else on the hard drive out. Now everything is working fine. Now, the problem that I've had since Tuesday afternoon is that I've had to reinstall all the programs and games and peripherals and all the things that I use on a day-to-day basis. So it is kind of a hassle. But on the other hand, it's a very clean computer right now, and there's not that much on there. There aren't very many programs. And a lot of the stuff that was on there were games that I wasn't playing anymore. There were, graphics files, comics, scans, and things. Things that I really don't need to keep, and I just hadn't gotten rid of. And some of that stuff, surprisingly enough, takes up a lot of room. So now I'm back down to having a reasonable amount of stuff on my computer, and as opposed to a bunch of junk cluttering it up. There are still a few things on there that are kind of unnecessary things, like for example, I have all of the previous shows archived. So just in case there's a problem with Podbean or whatever, or if I end up switching, I can just upload all the old shows, etc. So I do have a folder of all that, and those take up a fair amount of space. I mean, they're not huge files, not about 10 megs or 13 megs each, but still, it does take up some room. But I've got a big enough hard drive that it really doesn't matter that much. And of course, the process is still ongoing, and as I am a gamer, I had a bunch of games on the computer, some of which I wasn't playing anymore, but I have to be reinstalling some of the stuff that I do play. And that takes time, and especially like with World of Warcraft, it takes hours and hours and hours. Now, Pete was kind enough to import his copy of WoW onto my computer, but I'm having some difficulties with the sound on it. It works, but I'm having difficulties with the sound. So I have a feeling that I might end up having to do a reinstall. That one is kind of a pisser, and the reason why is because, as people who play WoW know, it's a lot of time, because you have, I think it's 4 or 5 discs for each expansion, and then you have hours of patches that come down. Yeah, it for the new content, because they added a lot of stuff after, after the initial release. And even before they released the expansions, they were adding new material via patches. So in order to get all the material, you have to have all the patches. Anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent here. The other part of getting everything reset up again is, of course, I've lost all of my cookies and so forth for the various websites. And I'm, of course, I'm a member of many, many different websites and different forums and different sites, like for the podcast, the different subscriptions that I have. And maybe it's just that I'm getting old or something, but I have just not been able to remember all of my passwords. And obviously it's because I'm trying to be security conscious and I don't use the same password for everything. So I'm having to remember all of the passwords, and I don't remember. So I just kind of have like a dozen different ones that I use, and I have to kind of try them all until I get the right one, or have to try to remember which email address that I had registered to it. So that's also kind of a little hassle in itself. But by and large, I've gotten all that stuff reset up again. And of course, this is another whole point here, that because of the problem I've had with the computer, I've had a few messages of people out now who are telling me, "Oh, you're still using Windows? You're it's nothing but failure and viruses forever if you use Windows." And it gives the people who are not Windows users the chance to really be annoying and self-righteous. And I know a few people who are like that, they're geeks. I mean, they're technical type people who have a lot of computer knowledge, who are not just casual computer users. They actually have some real programming experience, who actually know what they're doing. But also, they're not gamers. They're not people who actually care about games or that sort of experience. Anybody who is a gamer knows, if you're going to be a gamer, you're going to end up using Windows. And even the people who use, Linux or Unix or whatever, the open source operating systems that are using R, if they're going to game, they need to actually install Windows to do that. So in that case, why not just use Windows as your operating system? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And of course, another point here is that, I have a lot of people on my Facebook friends who are users of open source operating systems, and they use, Ubuntu or Linux or whatever. And these people, for all of their smugness about how Windows is so much hassle and how horrible it is, they have so much trouble installing this system and getting it working. And it seems like half the time they're complaining about this not working, that not working, this install or that install, and they're tweaking their system and they're trying to get things to work, and they have things, half their software doesn't work, or they're just not happy with it and they have to switch it around. And I guess there's just kind of this whole niche of computer user who likes to tinker with their operating system and likes to try to make changes and likes to do this. And great on them. Really good for them. Because, I mean, they're great. You're going to learn a lot that way. But I want something that is going to be more casual, that I don't have to worry about quite so much. And like I said, I've had one nasty virus in 13 years of using Windows. And I've had one other virus that I had that, was able to get rid of with the virus program. So I don't really see that it's that big a deal. And I'll tell you what, all the self-righteousness aside, there's people who are saying, oh, you should get a Mac, because Macs don't get viruses. Well, that's not true at all. Macs do get viruses. And the reason why they don't get as much press is because there's no programs for the Mac that anybody really cares about. And of course, the iPhone has viruses and iPods have viruses and so forth. So it really isn't a question of not having viruses if you get a Mac. It's really a question of market share. And nobody really cares about Macs enough to write viruses for them. Windows, on the other hand, has been around for a long time, and there's a lot of programs that people do care about. And so there are a lot of viruses. So it really is... I am of the opinion. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a Linux box, and there's nothing wrong with having a Mac. But at least be humble about it and realize that your systems are going to have their disadvantages as well as their advantages. If all I did was recording and word processing, then maybe I'd have a Mac. Obviously, there's not a lot of gamers who use Macs because the games just aren't available. I mean, you might be able to use it for some of the bigger games. I know that there are people who play WoW on Mac, for example, though I know that a lot of them are using Windows to run WoW. But I've never heard of anybody, being a gamer using Linux or one of those without having to install Windows as well. So it really is a matter of what's going to be most convenient for you. Now, I'm not a technical savvy individual. I do not have this broad technical knowledge of computer programming. I know a lot about other things, but that's not my strength. I'm a more casual type of user, the kind of user that Windows is designed to accommodate. So, with all due respect to my friends who want me to switch over to Linux or some other alternative, that is probably not going to happen. And I will just continue to take precautions and have my virus checker. Now, if you're running Windows, you're an idiot if you don't run a virus checker and if you don't have a spyware scanner. I mean, it's insane because the web is full of spyware and malware, and most of the time, your virus checker, your spyware checker is going to catch this stuff and prevent it from being a problem. So you're not going to end up having a problem with it. But sometimes the smugness and the self-righteousness, oh, well, now you've got a virus, so now everybody who you know is infected with this. And that just isn't true because, if you do it intelligently and you take precautions and you don't go to dodgy websites, and which I try not to do, occasionally, looking for stuff, you end up in places that you could conceivably get a pop-up or something. I really don't see that it's that big of a deal. And if you're going to hate on Microsoft, then hate on Microsoft, but do it for good reasons. Don't do it just to be smug. So anyway, Pete and I had something really interesting the other day when we were working on the computer, because Pete had brought over his removable hard drive and we were transferring the files from the second installation of Windows to the removable hard drive to save the data. Anyway, during that period of time, we had a lot of time to kill because it took like 4 hours to transfer everything over. So Pete and I decided we were going to go get a bite to eat. Pete and I went to lunch at this new place, and it's down over by Loyola University. Now, to those of you who are outside of Chicago, which is to say virtually all of you, that's not going to mean a whole lot because it's not a chain sort of restaurant. But somebody has opened up a fast food Indian place, which is really kind of an interesting concept. The only time I've ever heard of anything like that before was in the Watchmen graphic novel. I haven't seen the movie of that still, by the way. I will at some point see it and get back to you and my thoughts about it. But getting back to it. And they have this dish that they call Ziggy's, and it's spelled Zyggys. And that's not a very Indian sounding name, is it? I have a feeling it's just something they made up. And these Ziggy's, what they are, is it's like an Indian burrito. So they take various types of fillings, and I think they had like tandoori chicken and or paneer, which is sort of a marinated cheese cubes. Very traditional, or aloo, which is a spiced potato. And they wrap it in a chapati, which is very much like a soft tortilla. It's a little corn tortilla or flour tortilla. And they wrap it up like a little burrito. And I thought, what a cool concept. And so we went down there and we tried it. And you can kind of get your choice of how spicy you want it. And they have this hot sauce that they put on it to make it spicy or not spicy, if you prefer. Now, I was thinking that what they would do is just kind of add spices to it to make it spicier, not add a bunch of hot sauce. Because as much as I like spicy food, I don't like it necessarily just slathered in hot sauce, and that's kind of what they do. So I probably will get less hot sauce next time, just because it doesn't really come down to how spicy it is. It's how much you like that hot sauce. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, interesting concept. And the execution was so-so. One of the problems that I had with it was that the chapatis were just a little bit too small to really wrap all of the fillings in. And what they should do, and I actually talked to the guy working there about it, because I was hoping he'd take that to the manager, is to get a larger chapati. Maybe not as big as the Chipotle's tortillas, for those of you who have Chipotle where you are. And I think most of you do. Most of the people listening are either in the U.S. or the U.K., so they probably do have Chipotle there. So they would get a larger chapati and actually wrap it all the way around. Because what they're doing right now is they kind of wrap it in the chapati, and they kind of tuck it under, but they don't really... It's not enclosed. It's not sealed up. So you get a lot of drippage out the bottom if you try to pick it up like a tortilla, which is what you're supposed to do. They wrap it in the chapati, then they wrap it in foil, and then you're supposed to peel the foil off and eat down. You know, and the problem with that is that the hot sauce and the other stuff kind of drips out the bottom, and that it makes it kind of messy. So that was just my idea. But an interesting idea to have this fast food Indian joint near me. I'm going to keep an eye on that. They just opened about 6 weeks ago, and I, of course, don't remember the name of it now, so I'm going to have to go down there and find out what that is. But, you know, interestingly enough, I haven't talked much about my favorite foods on here, and I don't know, maybe people just don't find that interesting. But, you know, my three favorite types of food are sushi, and kind of Japanese food in general. Pizza, which I shouldn't eat, and you know, it's horribly fattening, and I don't really need to gain any more weight. But, you know, pizza is Chicago, so there's really no avoiding it. And Indian. And I was really kind of introduced to Indian food by a former roommate of mine, and he was from India. And he was a very good cook, and we would go to a restaurant in Cleveland called Bombay Bistro, which was down on Cedar. Unfortunately, they don't exist anymore. But my roommate was saying how it was a very authentic place, and of course, the quality was incredible, just way better than anything I've had before or since. Yeah, I became very fond of Indian food, and it's been really difficult here in Chicago to find really good Indian food, which is very surprising because Chicago has a huge Indian population, just enormous. There's a whole section of town down Devon Avenue, sort of west of here, between the lake and Western Avenue, sort of the big Indian community. And there's, of course, a lot of Pakistani people and a lot of Middle Eastern people living in that area as well. And there's all kinds of restaurants and businesses down there that cater to that community. It's sort of like a little India neighborhood. But we've always had trouble finding good Indian food down there because some of the restaurants are just not that great. The ones that are a very high quality, that they seem to be very expensive. And Indian food shouldn't be expensive because Indian food is not expensive to make. The ingredients aren't expensive. It's not labor intensive. It's not something you have to spend days preparing. It's really hard to find good Indian food here, but we found a couple places that we like. I mean, there's a vegetarian Indian place down there that I like, but it's difficult to get down there on my own. And I hate to drag Pete to a vegetarian place because he likes his meat. But we also just recently found another Indian place, which is closer to me, which I could actually go to on the train and get Indian food down there. Be interested in hearing from all of you listeners, what are your favorite foods? And mine are sushi, pizza, and Indian. But I know not everybody has the same taste, so you know, feel free if you want to contribute to the show. It's very easy to do so. All you have to do is write an email or send an audio clip. I haven't had much of anything in the last week or so. So, you know, if you want to get on the show, then, you know, go ahead. Great. You know, then now's the time to send an audio clip. The email address for the show is tom@tomharrisusa.com. Now, you can also send comments if you are listening on the website. by commenting on the individual episodes. The comments do not appear immediately, and that's the reason why, is because I want to make sure that there's no spam popping up on the website, and I just kind of edit it. Speaking of which, I had my first piece of spam on the Tom Harris USA podcast community on Facebook. Well, maybe it wasn't really spam, but it was just a posting that was made that wasn't applicable to any of the discussions that we've been having. I had a couple new people sign up for the podcast community, and I guess one of them is this random person who thinks that I need to be saved, and they posted a link to a video clip that was of a religious nature. Now, anybody who has been listening to the show for any length of time knows that this show is done from an atheistic point of view, but also knows that I used to be a born-again Christian, so proselytizing to me is not really going to have any effect. So I deleted it. However, I didn't delete it to be a censor. I don't want to censor people's views, but I just think that if people are going to post anything on the community, that it should be directly relevant to something that I have discussed on the show. So I would rather people go to the discussions for the various episodes. I do put them up there, and people generally don't respond to them. But people should feel free to do so, because that's what they're there for. And if there are particular issues that people want to discuss, then by all means, then they should be encouraged to do so. But just putting up random religious links or random religious videos, that isn't going to work, and I'm going to get rid of them. And I do wonder if the person who actually posted it has ever listened to the show. That's another concern that I have. I don't want people who don't listen to the show who are just kind of throwing stuff out there. I'd rather have this person, and if she does listen to the show, I do apologize, but I will just say again, if you want to contribute, then contribute. The way to do that is to send me an email, because all of the emails that I'm receiving, I'm reading out on the show, and you can actually get your message out to my entire audience that way. So it's actually more effective if you were to actually communicate with me through email. I'm going to get off my soapbox about this because I know that people might feel differently, but if they do, they should write an email to the show, and then I can discuss these things on the air. Not much going on the job front. I haven't had any calls this week. Have gotten a few more resumes out, but it is slow going at the moment, and being so consumed this past week with all the computer problems, it's really been kind of a struggle just to find time to even look for a job, which has been kind of sad. But I think now I'm finally getting back into the swing of things, and hopefully we'll have something more to report. I'm actually getting to a point now where I'm going to probably start talking to the people at the agencies again and maybe try to get something that's temp to hire. I don't want to really temp at this point if I can avoid it, but if it's temp to hire, I'm okay with that, just to give it a try, just to see if a company is willing to, they take on people for a temporary position with the idea that they're going to hire them full-time if they work out. And it's sort of like having a probationary period without actually having to actually hire somebody, which I guess I get. I guess it's one way of doing it. It would save them a little bit of hassle. But then, of course, I don't want to get caught in the temp trap, where you start taking a temp position, and then you go from that temp position to another temp position, to another temp position, and you get all wound up in this cycle of going from one temp job to another, and in the process, you're not actually getting a real job. You're just temping. So your job is a professional temp, and that's kind of the situation I want to avoid. Anyway, it looks like I'm running out of time, so I will just say for now, thank you. Please feel free to contact the show. Again, the email address is tom@tomharrisusa.com. So, from Chicago, Illinois, in a beautiful, sunny Chicago November afternoon, this is Tom Harris signing off. I'm going to go out and enjoy the rest of the day. So, see you next time.